This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So, you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
You really gotta wonder what kind of working relationship he'd have with Satan.
It's Mike Shope.
I've often wondered that. Like, he, they, I don't know what his pronouns are, or their pronouns. Anyway, Satan.
And the Bulldog.
Maybe, what's the upside of doing well?
Well, maybe they're too busy making everyone else's life hell.
Oh, boy.
And wow. You might just be able to do your own thing if you're partnered with Satan.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
They're too busy, you know, making Scott Norwood miss field goals.
Oh, come on.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
Poor Scott Norwood. The strays just keep coming. Here's Bulldog. Doesn't even really mean anything by that, I'm pretty sure. 35 years later, poor Scott Norwood. He made a few. Missed that one. That hurt. Hi, I'm Mike Shope. Thanks for being with me. Bulldog is off this week. I'll be sure to say a lot of things about him. Things that I won't say in front of him. But I'm going to make you wait a little bit for that. We will talk to Sal today and also Tyler Dunn. It is 1 month from the draft. I'll consider that, you know, an occasion. Don't need a reason, but I'll make it one to talk about the draft today. I know the show prior to mine, lots of people were calling in about the draft. Maybe, I always say this, but you get to a point, maybe it's now, maybe it was last week, maybe it was 2 months ago, maybe it'll be the day of, maybe it'll never happen, where you have an outcome in the draft that you want. I am having a tough time with that this year because while I think most people are saying the same things about the Bills and their needs, like there's pretty much a consensus on that. When it was wide receiver mania in here, this giant board beside me that the morning guys made and stuck, you know, the names up, trying to figure out our favorites, we were all about that last year. It ended up at Keon Coleman. But, you know, Brian Thomas, Xavier Worthy, A.D. Mitchell, these other candidates for the Bills at receiver as post-Diggs trade and then Davis leaves, it kind of felt, okay, they're going to have to do this now. We wanted it for, a lot of us wanted it for a couple of years, didn't happen. They drafted Kincaid as kind of like a compromise with the wide receiver train enthusiasts. And then last year, I mean, they kind of gutted it. So it was time for, you know, a blue chip prospect, which, you know, is in theory what they got in Coleman. He was the 33rd pick of the draft. He was the 8th receiver taken last year. So not exactly, you know, the most blue chip, if you will. But when we had these receiver debates, it was lively because it was not unanimous that the Bills A, should draft a receiver early, or B, would. You know, you never know what they're going to do, and the draft has to sort of get going before things become clearer. You know, boards can dry up, whatever. So you won't know before the draft, whatever. It was not unanimous that they should do it. And I say that thinking about how last year, this is a point we've talked about a lot, they really thrived when they shifted, this is 2023 now, from Ken Dorsey to Joe Brady and became more built around the run. And it worked for them, so will they draft a receiver? Should they draft a receiver? All of that sort of in the framework where they didn't really get a lot from Diggs or Davis, hardly anything from Davis after that coordinator change, and Diggs, his production tailed off, but they still won every week until the playoff loss to Kansas City. So will they do it? This year, the consensus is really, you know, decided. Like, it's defense. And it makes perfect sense. They have been drafting offense up top the last couple of years. Their defense really fell off. Their pass defense really fell off, and it hurt them badly. That's what's maybe a little bit ironic about the Kansas City loss in the playoffs is, like, it's one thing, and they've lost them four times now in the postseason the last 5 years. But it's one thing to sort of think about Mahomes and Kelce and Andy Reid and a loss to the Chiefs, an inability to stop the Chiefs can always make sense. But it was a year where Kansas City's offense just did not really perform. And yet against the Bills in the playoffs, they did. So defense is kind of obvious for the Bills. They don't have a starting corner, it seems, right now. Interior defensive line, and really any kind of playmaker position. Plus, it sounds like a draft where that's really for when the Bills pick 30 and then twice late in round two. That's really where the talent is, you know, there on defense. So it's both. It's these are your needs. This is what's available in the draft. And, you know, the last couple of years drafting pass catchers, all the more reason to think that's where we end up here. The challenge I'm having in talking about this every day is I don't think I care who or what it is. And, you know, that can be me just being lazy, but I'm being real too. Like, different traits, different sizes. Bulldog likes the bigger defensive tackle versus the smaller one. You know, corner can be, what is their arm length? All these kind of different physical traits or even intangibles that you can make it about. But I don't really have that much of a preference because I think, this is my excuse anyway, because I think it's kind of all the same for what it means to their chances. You need a couple of starters, at least one, and they'll end up with one somehow, either in the draft or, you know, another way. They'll get there. And then, you know, they'll roll the ball out in week one, and Josh Allen presumably will be the quarterback, and their offense will probably, because of that, be really good. And, you know, defensively, last year they were down. They won 13 games and another two playoff games. You know, it's like, how much, we'll see what happens. But as you try to project it, how much of a difference does a first-round pick, pick 30 at defensive tackle, make versus pick 30 at corner versus pick 30 at edge? I don't know. Like, to me, it's not enough to get super, like, locked in on a certain player or even a certain position when it comes to defense. So that's me. I mean, receiver is always, like, exciting to think about, but having drafted Coleman and even signing Joshua Palmer after having drafted Kincaid, I just doubt they would start this draft that way, plus it being a year where not that many people, relatively speaking, are that excited about the receiver options. I mentioned I have Tyler Dunn later. So golongtd.com is his site, And he's got from Bob McGinn, longtime NFL writer who covered the Packers, who's part of Tyler's team at Go Long TD. He's got a long breakdown and ranking of the top receivers. I've never been more spooked by the idea of, you know, a first-round pick for one of these guys than today, having read that. Like, it's anonymous scouts, but the guy's got, I mean, McGinn's been around a long time, and, you know, by extension, Tyler, not questioning him at all. But if you've got anonymous scouts who are going to say, you know, things, obviously, things that you wouldn't want to put your name on, like Luther Burden. So I do these PFF, I haven't done one in a few days, actually, but I've done a few of these PFF mock drafts. And a couple times it came to be the Bills pick at pick 30, and you've got kind of the usual names on defense. But then there's Luther Burden, who is wide receiver. Should we count Travis Hunter? Let's count Travis Hunter. Like three or four? It's Hunter, who also plays corner, of course. And then it's Tet McMillan, almost always next. And after that, you have three or four different names, depending on your cup of tea. So Burden, a couple of times, came up for me in these mock drafts. You know, I want the A. I want a receiver, too, but I want the grade for posterity. I want to make a pick that PFF is going to like, which shouldn't be that hard, given that they're ranking the players and telling you their favorites. It really shouldn't be that hard. So Luther Burden, okay. I mean, he's up there. I know the name from these receivers and the combine and everything else. But then I read the thing at Tyler's website. The mom is a problem. It's written. The girlfriend is his manager. The mom is a problem. He's a good player, whatever that means. He's a good player on Saturday. He's very ordinary Monday through Friday. I mean, there are these kind of comments about a lot of these guys. Even McMillan, who is outside of Hunter, and I just say it that way because he also plays corner, but like everybody's wide receiver one, pretty much. Really immature, poster child for this NIL. Just like a, what is it? There was one line. The stuff on film this year, that's just gross. Like this is the best receiver in the draft. Different than recent years, eh? So I kind of like the idea because I always do, and I think the Bills could really benefit, but today I got a little scared because the class is just not as hot, apparently. The mom is a problem. I just now you're telling me something here. So I mean that's just one article, but I think it's unlikely that the Bills do this anyway, and it leaves me just kind of like, I don't know, bored for what the draft can be. I mean, really, what could happen? I mean, teams make trades. The Bills have done plenty of that in the draft over the years. Little ones to move up for, you know, Kyer Elam and Dalton Kincaid. Bigger ones to get to Allen and then Tremaine Edmonds. Like, just there's been lots of action from the Bills, and that's not a bad thing. I mean, I love that. I don't love trading up generally, but like that my team's sort of in the game, right?
What does it take to improve maternal health for everyone? It takes a new model of care for mothers and babies. It takes deeper connections in patients' communities and comprehensive care before pregnancy and far beyond. It takes Philadelphia's only hospital exclusively dedicated to women and families to reinvent maternal health care and improve outcomes for all women. It takes Temple Health.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Kickstart your new year with a rewarding career at the HK Group. HK is the leader in heavy construction and contractor site materials with over 80 locations across Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Delaware. HK offers a wide range of opportunities, including heavy equipment operators, CDL drivers, mechanics, site supervisors, engineers, and project managers. 100% paid benefits designed to promote healthy living, financial stability, and career growth. The HK Group does not discriminate. Apply today at hkgroup.com. It's your future opportunity.
But at 30, what, like even last year with, I think it would have been Brian Thomas, who ended up going to Jacksonville and being great for Jacksonville. I know the idea of the Bills trading up to get him came up a lot in here, and I definitely was against that. But that guy looks like a home run for the Jaguars at their pick. And I don't know, is there any reason, you tell me if you think so, because I would love to have it. Is there any reason to think about the Bills moving up here? Like, for who? To draft a different defensive lineman? To draft a different corner? I mean, maybe. When the Bills got, they're not all the same. I'm coming at this from a standpoint of, like, we don't know who's going to be good, right? Like, neither do the Bills. So that's part of, you could have, like, a serious conviction on one of the D linemen or one of the corners and not the other. But, I mean, I think that's kind of rich. I mean, because traits-wise, sure, but we're just not going to know how they're going to be as pros. So I tend to stay away from that. But if you did have that, you can get serious about, well, they should make this move to get to Kenneth Grant or Amos or whoever it is you want from the first round. And okay, I mean, again, like, if you're listening to this and thinking, like, this is absolutely what should happen, talk to me. I mean, I'm not a trade-up guy, but let's hear the argument. I just think so much depth, and I don't know what the other words might be for it, for me to think, like, that's probably not worth it. But I always think that when it comes to trading up. And then trading down, that was last year's thing. The Bills had traded up a couple of times, a few times, like I just mentioned, and they got to last year's draft, and all right, we didn't need this pick for Worthy, Kansas City, go ahead. Then we didn't need the pick that they traded to Carolina, okay, ends up on Coleman. And as I've said about that many times, I think that's all fine. I think the best thing about how they set that up would be to trade down a third time, with there being Coleman, McConkie, Polk, Mitchell, other guys at the top of the overall class. I mean, you had still a few receivers to pick from, and you have all day Friday. I don't know, I can't assume it was possible to do it, but you'd think so. All day Friday to make one more move and get something else out of your draft capital. And that's what the Bills didn't do, ultimately just making the pick for Coleman. So I don't know. It doesn't mean they won't trade down this year, but would they want to trade? It's kind of an interesting thing to think about, trading out of the first round like they did. I mean, there's a certain clout to the first round pick, and you know, you have the press conference and there's his jersey, we're all smiling, and here's your number one pick, you go down in history as that. And Coleman comes in instead as the first pick of round two. So the Bills do not have quite the same, just doesn't have quite the same energy or clout, again, to use that word, as even the last pick of the first round would. So would the Bills, does it have to matter? No. But would they maybe want to get out of the first round for a second year in a row? Like, I don't know, I guess in a vacuum, I would tend to doubt it. 803-0550. Here's John with us. Hi, John.
How are you guys doing today? Hope you're doing well. I'm actually of the opinion that we're going to go up the board and try to get the Bruce Smith of this draft. I think we have enough draft capital to just go get the one or two things we need to make a push for the Super Bowl. I think we've been so lacking on defensive pressure. I think we sold out for an aging Von Miller. We're selling out for a aging Joey Bosa. What does it take to get us to 2, to 3, to 4
Not possible. No. To get to the top five?
Second, like, what gets us there?
To the top five?
Yeah.
Nothing.
Nothing gets us there.
No. Not, there's no way to do it with draft picks. I mean, if you wanted to trade a couple of starters or something and a bunch of draft picks, then maybe, but not realistic in my view.
Not realistic. So if he falls to 5 or 6, there's no way we make a push to go get him.
It's not possible. You can make the push, make all the push you want, but who do you mean? Carter?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Well, I mean, I don't know, John. I doubt he gets to 5, but maybe, but I don't know. Show me I'm wrong. Like, it doesn't have to work exactly like the simulators, but we did a couple in here where I offered, I'm the Bills. I offered two complete years of draft picks to have some fun imagining getting to Travis Hunter, and I was told no. So I don't think there's any way you can do that. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't trade up at all. right? To somewhere in the middle of the first round, I guess, to get... You know what? This is really kind of the point. I haven't even opened one of those draft chart value things yet this year. It's still a month away, in my defense, I guess. But I haven't even opened the Jimmy Johnson chart. Let me just do that right now. Draft, NFL draft. This is when Bulldog would talk. NFL draft value chart. You know, there's different ones. I guess PFF would have its own. I'm on, first one that comes up for me is Draft Tech. All right, so I pick we. Let's make it we, right? We're in this together. Why doesn't that come easily? We pick 30th. 620 points in value, according to drafttech.com. So the caller wants top five. I mean, that's at the minimum. To get to Abdul Carter, that would be Jacksonville at 1,700. So that's all of my picks, which is never going to happen, and then something else from next year would be like equivalent in this. So again, like that's not happening. But I don't know. I've not spent much time on the players who come in like 15 to 20. And I hope very much the Bills don't do this. But if you were to look at this same chart, something like pick 30 and pick 62, their own second. They still have Minnesota's second as well through Houston from the Diggs trade. It's funny that it's Minnesota because the Bills didn't. That's not from the Bills trade for Diggs with the Vikings, but the Texans got the Vikings pick last year moving around in the draft, and then they traded it to Buffalo. So let's go, let's say I want to trade 30 and 62, and that gets me to like Seattle at 18. A first and a second to move up 12 spots. And look, I just have to say, I can't wait another second. Never do this. never trade your 30 and 62 for 18 and still draft defense. That would be really dumb. I would be very much against that. What you want in a world where you just, of course, don't know who's going to be good, you want more chances. You want more lottery balls. And that's the opposite of trading the two picks to move up a dozen spots or whatever that would be. People do make, and look, the Bills are a pretty good example. They do make exceptions for quarterbacks. And that's, you know, it's obvious why, because there's so much value there. There's so much riding on it. I've gone back and forth on whether I think that's even smart, because, you know, sometimes we get the quarterback position wrong too. Thanks, John. I wish your idea were more realistic, because believe me, I would run with it. I probably still wouldn't want to do it, but at least that's my point kind of overall here about this draft so far for me, is I don't really know what I want them to do that I really have any conviction about. You want to draft defense because your defense went the wrong way last year, and offensively you've got most of what you want or what you need with the offensive line pretty stable, and even as Sal has pointed out before, their depth up front, of course, Allen, you know, receiver-wise, I think there should be some room for a receiver maybe by round four, or at least by round five. But they don't look like a team really primed for that, I want to say. And the class is just kind of mid. So I wouldn't get my hopes up there. So where does that leave you? If that's you, just pick a couple of these guys, defensive players, potential to be starters, Thursday night, Friday night, and go from there. And that is the Thursday night, the opening round, 1 month from today. 803-0550, glad to have John's call. We'll get into some more, I hope, through the day, talking about the draft and other stuff for the Bills. I want to talk to Sal. We've certainly done some of this, but among other things here coming up next. So James Cook, Christian Benford, still under contract both. Like, these are not guys who are free agents like Douglas is. You know, these guys who are on your roster. But both sort of in position for new contracts. Cook, of course, has been more vocal about it. As far as I know, I haven't seen anything from Benford, but he's probably at that point where they're expecting something for him long-term, big dollars. And I just wonder, so today is March 24th. When does it start to become a concern? Is it already? Like, the Bills have been really good at getting these kinds of things done and getting them done early, like they did this year with Shakir and Rousseau and Bernard. Just kind of like, before you're even thinking about it, this happened with Allen. Not even, I don't mean this time, but like the first big contract, it was just kind of like, oh, okay, already. No drama, no back and forth in the media or anything like that. And it was just done. And I think I want to say from that as a compliment that that's how you'd like to do it. That's how the Bills have been able to do it in these other examples. So I've got Benford and Cook, and I don't have anything now. And I think that doesn't have to be any sort of bad omen, but I kind of wonder if it is, given how smoothly and quickly they've been able to get other deals done. So that and more with Sal coming up after a break. Tyler Dunn today as well. As we get later, Paul Hamilton reflecting on the Sabres weekend. The next game for them is tomorrow night at home against Ottawa. I'm Mike Shope. Glad to have you. Bulldog is off this week. This is WGR.
So I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Almacid, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Almacid has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Almacid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almacid.com. That's Almased.com.
March Madness is here, and if you want to enhance the experience, join me, Gary Parrish, and my colleague Matt Norlander on the Ion College Basketball Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. We have new episodes at least three times a week and at the end of every night of the NCAA tournament. So before you go to bed, hang with us or know we'll be there when you awake. We'll break down games, make picks against the spread. Most of all, we'll have a blast. So join us on the Ion College Basketball Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.